Sure, I'm glad I can sing that song with blessed assurance, knowing that truly the Lord is going to come back for us again one day after a while. A word testimony, anything on anyone's heart before we go any further in service? Well, I hear Faith Church has elected a pastor. How many of you know that? How many of you don't know that? How many of you know who it is? Could I see your hands? All right. Well, it's me. The church did call us a pastor last week. They elected us as a pastor. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. First of all, I want to take a verse of Scripture that's found in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. That'd be our text for today. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. It's a question that I asked Brother Billy Clemens on the phone last week. This question was, what is the vision for this church? I want you to think about that with me for just a few moments of time. For the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Then it goes on to say, and I want you to think about this, because there's more to that verse of Scripture than just that. It goes on to say, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to talk to us for just a little while about what the vision for this church. What is it? What is the vision? What is your vision for this church? And I also want to make mention of this. That when the Lord Jesus was here, He took 11 up to a mountain and He gave them what was called the Great Commission. We find that in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 16 through 20. And in that, I want you to understand that that was part of keeping the law. It's God's law that we're talking about. It's His commandments that we're talking about. And if you want to have a vision, that's where the focus needs to be. And although there'll be times when you're not so happy, when it's all said and done, you'll be happy that you did. I really believe that with all my heart. What is your vision for Faith Church, for Faith Missionary Baptist Church? And as you think about that, the next thing I want you to think about that Faith Missionary Baptist Church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a local, visible body of baptized believers that have coveted or agreed, made a covenant that we come together and we would follow the commandments of the Lord. Now, in the 18th chapter, or the 18th, 16th verse of the 28th chapter of Matthew, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, I want to read these verses of Scripture today. And you might want to take some notes. Because it might be important for you to think about some of these things that I prayed about this morning and that I've been praying about all week. First of all, I want you to recognize that when Jesus went up to that mountain, He said He took 11 with Him. First, next thing I want to say is, look around, there's more than 11 people here today. He said, right. Jesus took 11 and with those 11 over 2,000 years ago, it brought us to here today. With 11. Now, if He can take 11 and spread the gospel to the entire world, what do you think He can do with And then he says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He says, go. He says, go ye therefore. In other words, have you put some legs to that of what you believe in? Have you put some prayers to what you believe in? Have you go out there and you show the world that Jesus still saves? And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then this is what I like. He told those 11, he said, I'm going to be with you. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end.
Yes, yes,
the end. The end of what? The end of the world. And he says, amen. I still believe what Jesus said that day is still in effect today. I believe if he could take the life of those disciples in hell, and you know what? Me and them, they hardly made it past the year. Some of them didn't make it past the week. And so you see, James was already killed, and there was many other martyrs. I mean, just that quick, they were going down as targets. With targets on their back, they went down, and yet even with those 11, the gospel went into all. And came into Davidson County, Nashville, Tennessee. Last time I was here, I thought about it. I need to look up the history of this church and read about it. I want to be familiar with it. But I want to know something else. I don't want to keep looking back. I want to go forward, don't you? Now, how are we going to do that? Is there going to be some Christians along the way? Amen. Is there going to be some difficult times along the way? Amen. So what are we going to do? With the vision of the church, first of all, you got to understand, you got to have a vision, because there are people that are perishing. People that are members of our families, our friends, our neighbors. And why are they perishing? Because of the blame on them. Well, they won't come to church. Maybe they don't come to church because they don't feel like there's a place. Well, they got a place or a vision that people really want to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to be in a place where the people want to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. These 11 disciples, they wanted to work. Some of them short, some work for short lived, some of them lasted, some of them even went and got a hold of a deacon who was a preacher. I believe he preached. And as he was preaching, there was a man by the name of Saul that came under conviction and he got saved. And I'm going to tell you what happened there. About one man, there were many, many churches established. So, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a few questions today.
I got me an outline. It's handwritten. It's on one piece of paper. But I want you to turn with me today. As we get ready to go into this message, as we think about what is the vision for this church. And the next thing I want you to understand is I'm a whole lot like Nehemiah. Have you ever read about Nehemiah? Go back and read about Nehemiah. The first thing I want you to understand about Nehemiah is that he was in captivity. He was a slave. But you want to know something? God placed him right where he was for a purpose. God has placed you for a purpose. God has placed everyone here today for a purpose. And I don't know what your purpose is. I have strong to my own purpose. And I know that for one reason or another, God has placed us here for a purpose. Nehemiah's purpose was to be a cupbearer for the king. I can think of a lot of things I'd rather be, but would you like to be a cupbearer for the king? I'm not talking about the king that they were in the captivity there. I'm not talking about that type of king. I'm talking about being a cupbearer for the king. The king of kings and lords. You know what they did? The Lord instructed them to come talk to Nehemiah. And so they came. And when they came to him, they told him this. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left at the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gate thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept. And I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed unto God of heaven. Now I'm going to tell you, church, if you want to visit that place, you got to just sit down, forget about the things of the world, and just sit down and pray and talk to God. That's what Nehemiah did after he heard that news. You'll find that in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And so after he did that, the Lord answered his prayer. And the Lord said to me, you go talk to the king. And when you go to the king, he says, you need to tell him that you need to go and help those people. You need to help those people build up those walls again. And so Nehemiah did that. You know what he did? He went in, and I've seen a little bit of that today, where there's some people that have not got happy places. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
What a smile is this? Amen. It's going to be the most blessed place on the earth. But you know what? Nehemiah went before the king, and when he went before the king, he had that cup there. He already tested it because he had to taste it before the king drank it. Because if he didn't taste it before the king drank it, he's not saying the king wasn't going to drink it. Right. Now, you see, that's the way it is with the cup there. He had to drink it first, and listen, he didn't have it. It wasn't poison, and he could give it to the king. And you see, so he took it right, he gave it to the king. The king looked down and said, what in the world's wrong with you, Nehemiah? He come in there, and I guess he must have looked pretty sad. Every other time he came to the king, he came in there, and he was happy. He was happy to be in the king's palace, but today, he was different. He came in, and the king noticed. He said, what's wrong with you, Nehemiah? And he said, you're not happy like you used to be. He said, well, there's a reason. He said, you see, my people, let me tell you something. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're a member of this church, you're my people. I'm your people. We're in this thing together. And he comes to him, he says, you're not happy. You're usually happy. And he says, King, Artaxerxes, Artaxerxes, his name. He says, King Artaxerxes, he says, my people, back there in Jerusalem, they're struggling. And they were struggling a lot worse than we are today. Think about that. Where's your vision? He said, they're struggling. He said, everybody back there, I had a few of my, and they could have been kinfolk, I don't know, but they were from Jerusalem. They came to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah needed some help. And so Nehemiah heard it. He went to the Lord in prayer. He came to the king, and he asked him, he said, King, would you give me permission to go back and help them build up that wall? The king said, well, sure. You go on down there. And I like this. The king, I don't even believe Nehemiah had asked, but you know what he said? He said, is there anything you can do to help us? He said, well, sure there is. What do you want me to do? He said, write a letter to the governors. He said, okay, I'll write you a letter to the governors. So he wrote a letter to the governors. The king gave it to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, you take this letter to the governors, and whatever you need. If you need some wood, you go ask them. If you need some stones, you go ask them. If you need this and you need that, you go ask them. And then you gather that all up. You gather the materials up, and you go and build that one. That's what he said. So he did. He got the letter, and now we're already in chapter 3. And this is what happened. So we find here that when he went to the king in verse 5 of the second chapter, look at what it says. And he said, I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of the father's sepulchers, that I may build it. He said, send me. Now, if you're thinking about your vision today, you may say, well, I don't know where I need to be. Well, maybe you need to pray and ask the Lord. Maybe this is where you need to be. I'm a strong proponent of being where you can worship and serve God in spirit and in truth. And that's enough.
believe that. Now, let me tell you. There's going to be people that's looking around. They're looking at us. They are. They're looking at us. Church, they look at Nehemiah. There was one fellow by the name of Sanballat. And he was a Moabite. And he was kind of like a half Jew, you see. And he was looking. And he had four other kings. And they was looking. And they had gotten word that Nehemiah was born down there to build the wall. Let me tell you. If God gives you something to do and He says you go do it, you go do it. And He says, I'm going to go do it. And so He did. He went. He went to those governors. He gathered up all the materials. And as He gathered up the materials, it says that Sanballat, he got very upset about that. And he says that he was grieved because there was a man that seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Not everyone's going to be happy with building up God's house or His city. But you know what? That's just the way it's going to be. Don't focus your vision on them. Focus your vision on God.
And the task at hand.
You know, that's what Nehemiah did. You know what he did the very next day after he went to them governors, got those letters, got all that material? He went down to Jerusalem, and you know what he did? He got out there by the wall of Jerusalem, and he sat down, and he surveyed, and just kept looking. And what did he see? Let me tell you what he saw. He saw a mess. He saw a mess. Now you might say, Brother Ron, you mean you see a mess here? No, I don't see a mess here. I see an opportunity. I see an opportunity. I see a great opportunity. I don't know how many people live in the city of Nashville. It's a bunch of people. I don't know how many people live around the surrounding communities, the surrounding counties, the counties, but let me tell you something right now.
It's a bunch of people.
When was it? I think it was Tuesday. Or was it Monday?
Was it Monday or Tuesday? It was Monday, wasn't it? It was either Monday or Tuesday. It don't matter the day. But I took a little drive. I had to go down to Antioch. And you know what? I can find my way to this church from both sides, north and south. I can find my way to it from the east and from the west. I stood driving the neighborhood and surveyed. That's what Nehemiah did. The church building was empty. There was one car sitting out here. It was Tuesday. Isn't that the day you had the ladies? I was already praying for the ladies. And I pulled into the parking lot, pulled around, I looked around, drove around the neighborhood. Just talking to the Lord. Just surveying. That's what Nehemiah did. He just went and sat down and surveyed. Let me show you this. When he got through surveying that mess, you know what? There was something that came over him. You know what that was? It was hope. And if you really grow close, that's what it says. There was hope that came to him. In verse 17, it says, Then said I unto them, You see the distress that you are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, and we be no more a reproach. And in verse 18 of that second chapter, he says, Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and is also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And I said, Let us rise up and build. So they stretched their hands, for this is good work. And Sanballat and the Horonite and the Tobiah servants of the Ammonite and Geshem and Arabian heard, and they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? But you know what? Where there's hope, there's also a promise. And this is the promise of God. Then answered them and said to them, The God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore, we His servants will rise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. And so you know what? After he got that promise from God, there was hope to set up in Nehemiah's heart. And went into
third chapter, it's very, very important that we understand what's in the third chapter. Because in the third chapter, everybody in Jerusalem came to Nehemiah and he gave them instructions on what each one of them was going to do. Or, each one of them came to Nehemiah and said, "This is what I'm going to do." But what I'm saying is, it all works together. Do you know what one of the first things they did when they went to build that wall back up? You know what the first thing they built was? Look at chapter 3 and verse 1, and I'll tell you what it was. It was called the Sheep Gate. Now, why would they build up the Sheep Gate? Why would they put doors on the Sheep Gate? Why would they want to do that? Well, back then, they were sacrificing to the Lord. And you know what? The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Did you know that? And they came and they built those doors up and for those sheep and they gathered all the sheep together. And that's what we need to do, folks. If we're going to have a church here of faith and a vision, we got to start gathering up the sheep. Bring them in. Isn't that what Jesus said? Go ye into all the world. Make disciples. That's what teaching is. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He says, you go out there and you find those sheep. Those that are lost and wandering. Those that are saved and wandering. He says, you go out, you find them, and you don't keep them. What you do is you love them. Jerusalem's already a mess. And it's just a big pile of rubbish. Did you know that? But the next thing you do, the very next thing, if you look at it, the next thing he says is you go and you fix the fish gate. Did you notice that? Well, I learn something every time I study the Word of God, and I learn something here. I thought to myself, what in the world do they need to do to go fix the fish gate? Do they need to take and go build a gate? A gate there is a day long so they can catch fish and have the things there for the people? And then I got to look and you know what the fish gate is? It's the fish market. You ever been to the fish market? That's what it was. Why did it be a fish market? I'm going to tell you, if you're going to work for the Lord, you're going to have to eat. And if you're sheep, you got to be fed. And you know who's going to feed you? God's going to feed you. How does he feed you? He uses an under shepherd to feed the flock. That's how he does it. But in order for you to be fed, you got to gather up some fish. The fish market. And you got to eat nutrition to be able to work together and have a mind to work. So the next day they said, "Fish, you go fix the fish gate." And if you've never been to a foreign country, I have. I've been to many foreign countries, and I'm going to tell you, if you bring Brother Tom and if you bring Sister Sarah here from Kenya, and you come in and you have fish, you might want to keep the head on the fish. You know why? Because we're going to eat it. I said, "Sister Sarah, you're going to eat my fish head?" She said, "Yeah, that's why we're so smart." And they dropped one. I'm going to tell you, one of the very first times I ever went to the fish market was this. And I don't know why I need to stop here, but some of the experiences I've had, they come back to me in the pulpit sometimes. But one of them was back in 1992. I was in Russia. We were working there, and this guy said, "We're going to have us a picnic lunch." And I looked around and said, "Where's the lunch?" And you know what the lunch was? It was a fish about this long that was in a bag, and the tail was sticking out of it. I said, "Is that lunch?" He said, "That's lunch." And you know where that thing came from? From the fish market. You know how it got cooked? By the sun. Would you eat it? I'm going to tell you, it tastes just like country ham. They salted that thing up, dried it out there. Boy, give me some more of that. It was good. I'm going to tell you, when you taste the goodness of the Lord, it's good. They could have looked around and said, "Well, everything is just in ruins. There's no hope. There's no sense in even going back here and fixing that place. It's just no sense in doing it." But Nehemiah said, "You get that fish gate fixed, because we're going to need to eat." And then if you read all the rest of the third chapter, the list goes on and on and on. And there's names. It gives a name, a list of names. And you know what? Each one of those names had a talent.
I don't know what your talent is.
You may not know what my talent is.
But everyone in this church has a talent.
You've got a gift from God.
And if you've got a gift from God, use it for His glory and for His honor.
So every one of them is getting ready. That's how all the third chapter goes. And if you read that, I've got an outline, and I'm just going to review that in a minute. But now let's go to the third chapter. In the third chapter, there was a sign-up sheet, there was a sheet gate and all that. Now let's go to the fourth chapter, I'm sorry. In the fourth chapter, you think those scoffers are going to quit? I call them hecklers. Today's language, you call them trash talkers. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to talk trash. They talk trash to you, Pastor. I've had that happen to me. They're going to talk trash about the church, the community. They're going to talk. They're going to heckle. They're going to scoff. They're going to say, and a lot of maybe for legitimate reasons. Why are you going to Jerusalem to rebuild something that is in ruins?
Those kings, they got together. There was five of them. They started talking to each other. They started heckling. They started going around the people. And they even said, you know what?
They surveyed all these people that was working there. And they probably didn't look like they were too strong. Keep in mind, whenever Jerusalem was invaded, what did they do? They took the best of the best. And left the rest. Widows, widowers, orphans, old people. I'm just being honest. So those kings, they looked, they said, you know, if those bunch of people got together and worked, if a fox went up that wall, it'd fall down. Mm-hmm. And they laughed at it. That's what the Bible said. Did you know that?
But you know what? Nehemiah, he looked at those people. He loved those people. He knew that God sent him to do the work. And he said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. When you've got a mind to work, that means you've got a vision. Find out what the work is. You don't want to know what it is. You say, well, my work is just to fill a seat. If that's what your work is, fill that seat and do it good. If it's to testify, you testify. If it's to go out to the community, if it's to go out to those addicts, if it's to go out to the homeless, if it's to go out and find those people that are out there on the outside that need hope, go! And when you go, keep that mind at work. A lot of times when you go, they're going to say, are you crazy? I ain't going in there. That church is falling down. You just keep smiling on your face and keep working. Then you just turn it over to God. And let him deal with it. But if he says go back, don't say, Lord, I've already been wanting you to say, how fast do you want me to go to get there? Be positive. Be encouraging. We need people that have a vision and will see it to the end.
I like this. After this, it says, but it came to pass when Sanballat and all these kings, and I won't read all them, I messed up their names anyway, conspired all together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. They weren't only going to go and prevent it, they were going to go and they were going to fight against them. They were going to fight against these poor people that were laying in rubbish. But you know what? Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So you know what they did? They took what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, and they prayed without ceasing. That's what we'll have to do. We'll have to pray without ceasing. And when they come, it says, and Judas said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to even build the wall. There was so much trash around. Nehemiah had already seen all that they didn't even know what they were going to do, how to get the rubbish. that wanted to make war against them, that were going to make war against them, that were going to prevent them from doing it. Are you ready to quit? That may be what I do. I'll be honest with you. The world and the trash that's in it can just discourage us so much that people just go, you know, what's the use of it? Is that your vision? It's not mine. That's not my vision. You know what they did? They had a demo day. They had a demo day. You ever had a demo day? Ron and I were getting help. We've been talking about having a demo day in one of our little bathrooms in our house. I've got the tile. I've got the mortar. I've got everything. But you know what? I'm still waiting for her to say, it's time to tear out the tub. I've been waiting over 4 weeks. Demo day ain't got here yet. Why? It still works. You got to jiggle the handle on the toilet, but it still works. And that's the way we are, man. That's what we got to do. We got to be jiggled every now and then, but it still works. We just jiggle a little bit. Get that rubbish out of the way. Get that trash out of the way. Have demo day. Get it all cleaned up and start afresh. And that's what they did. It says, when our adversary said, thou shalt not know, neither see, shall come in the midst among them, slay them. And it says, and cause the work to cease. We're going to stop this work. Satan is going to try. And those that keep the Lord's commandments, happy is he. Happy is he.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about all that other stuff. And then the Lord encouraged them. Encouraged them to lean on God. And with every battle, there's a way. There's a way to arrange your mind. You can defend yourself and still get the job done. And so that's exactly what they did. They decided 50% of the people were going to work. 50% was going to stay on guard. And so you know, if you got 50% over here, you got 50% over here, what's that equal? It equals 100% commitment. Are you 100% committed to this? Be honest with yourself. Are you 100% committed to the vision of Faith Church? They came together. And they were ready. When they was working, you know how they worked? They worked with a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other. The other 50% was on guard. The other 50% was working, but if they needed to go and defend, defend the faith, defend what we believe, defend our place of worship, if we had to, we would stand firm against the wiles of the devil. But you know what they said? Even if we work with one weapon in our hand, one tool in our hand, and they tried, and it's almost like working or fighting with somebody with one arm behind their back. You know why? And kind of it is. It's not a very fair fight. You say, what do you mean? Because one with God is a majority, my folks. If God's on your side, you don't have to worry about the battle. You can work, and you can pray, and you can tie one hand behind your back, and you can still get the work accomplished. So Nehemiah encouraged him. Must have been a really good motivator. Had to be. Did he get discouraged, don't we all? Absolutely. But that's why we assemble ourselves together. How to encourage one another, lift one another up, edify one another. We're not here to try to complain and put each other down. I'm going to tell you, the world's going to do that. But I like what it says. I'm going to read from the 20th verse of the 4th chapter to verse 23, and then I will conclude. He said, in what place therefore you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither unto us? Our God shall fight for us. Underline that. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored. We labored in work. Half of them held the spear with the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, the same time said I unto the people, let everyone with his servants lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guard us and labor on the day.
Now, next week I may have a different suit on. But if I got the same suit on, I did take a bath before I came back. You say, why do you say that? I'm telling you, these people didn't even change their clothes but to wash them. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. Asking for a vision can be tough. Are you committed? Those people were committed. Are you committed? I'm committed. Let me review this. If you've got a bulletin, I like the way the bulletin is here. I get to put my notes and prayer requests on there that I hear. And then at the very bottom is a question asked. What should I do? What are you going to do with this message today? What am I going to do with the message today? Maybe the message is for me. I don't know. I can tell you what. I had no idea what I was going to preach this morning until this morning. I knew it had something to do with what Brother Billy and I talked about. What is the vision of this church? What is it? I'm a new guy. I'm just coming in. Nehemiah was a new guy. He hadn't been down there. He had been tasting wine for the king and hadn't died yet. Be honest with yourself. That's what he did. As long as he hadn't died, I guess the Lord had something for him to do. As long as you're not dead, I guess God's got something for you to do. I'm just plain spoken. That's the way I am. Make sure that's what you want. Make sure. So, Nehemiah is a cupbearer in the king's palace, chapter 1. He was at the right place at the right time. Keep that in mind. The messenger's plea in verses 5. Verses 3 through 5, he prayed to God. And when he prayed to God, he set out to seek the King of Kings' permission to rebuild. Did you know that? You said, well, I thought he went and talked to the king and asked him permission. He had already talked to the Lord before he went to talk to the king. You better do the same. I better do the same. After he talked to the Lord, he went to talk to the king. He asked the Lord, he said, you send me. He said, I thought Isaiah would be the one that said, send me. And Jeremiah, no, Nehemiah did too. He said, send me. And he said, when you send me, he said, send me with letters to the governors to get material. Not everybody's going to be happy about it. No, there's going to be some that's even going to try to start a war. Does that not mean we just don't rebuild or build up? We sure don't want to keep tearing down. I'm here to build up. Nehemiah went to the city, and before he went into the city, he sat down and he surveyed. I didn't tell you what he saw. Go back and read what he saw. He saw the mess. He saw stone hills. He saw walls broken down. You know what? I probably believe one thing that really hurt him the most was that the temple of the synagogue was torn to pieces. But after he got through surveying what he saw, the Lord put hope in his heart. There's hope. And with that hope, God made promise to him. And God makes promise to us that if we will keep His commandments, that if we'll follow Him, that if we'll seek His face, that if we'll humble our hearts in His sight, He will lift us up. He will establish our goal. There's a sign on the list. Are you on the list? You say, well, I don't want to be on the list. There was a few lists in my life that I really didn't want to be on. I had people call me a lot. Won't put me on the list. There was one that called a few weeks ago and asked me to get on the list. So now I'm on the list. In 3 weeks, I'm going to Trinidad. I'm going to Trinidad to preach in a revival. A man that I thought was
one of the best friends I ever had in his life. He turns his back on me. Turns his back on this faith. But Brother Wayne bows and asks for forgiveness. And I'm going to show you how sincere he is. I'm going back to Brother Paul Bryson, Brother Stephen Skinner, Brother John Porter. I'm on the list. What list are you on? You see, there's a good list and there's a bad list. I won't be on a good list. I've been on enough bad list. I get on a bad list every week. It's Mai's bad list. But it's a bad list. She said it's Mai. That's my wife, Rhonda. That's what her grandkids call her. You ever get on a bad list? A good list to be on. But you know what you got to do? You got to sign up. If you don't want to sign up, don't sign up. If you do want to sign up, sign up. If you don't want to sign up, if God wants you to sign up, you better sign up. Find out what that vision is. After you sign up, maybe you take care of the sheep pig, maybe you take care of the fish. I love to eat. I love fried chicken every Sunday. That was a joke, but it's still true. I love to eat, don't you? But you know where I'd rather eat before I go eat? Take a look. When I go to church, I only feel like I've been to church. Okay. When I go to church, I'm part of the church. A lot of people go to church to see what they can get out of it. I'm not that kind of preacher. I go to church to see what I can get into it. What can I get to make it? A church. Too many people go to get what they can out of church. Don't go to church for that reason. Go to be that servant to give. Send ballots are everywhere. Send ballots scoffer. He'll rally his troops. He'll do everything he can to keep us from advancing the cause. But in verse 6 it says, we built the wall, we had a mind to work. They prayed without ceasing. They removed the trash. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm going to tell you, folks, I'm afraid. I'm afraid not to do what the Lord wants me to do. And sometimes I'm afraid to do what the Lord wants me to do. You ever had that situation? That's that 50-50 thing, but it is true. 50% had a mind to work, 50% had a mind to guard. They switched. They all found their place and they worked together. 100% unity. If this church has 100% unity, even if it's 11 members of the church, just think what it can do. There's no limit to what it can do. So we need unity. And if we come together in unity, God will fight for us. I love what Jesus said before he went away. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together," he said, "there I will be in the midst." But you know what else he said? He said, "Where two or three are gathered together, agreeing, then I'll be in the midst." One of the things that we didn't cover is this: we need to watch. We need to work. And if we'll watch, if we'll work, we'll see the wonders of the Lord. And we'll be in awe. With that, I accept the pastor of this church, if you'll have me, after that message. You may not want me. But I can't be here next week. I can't be here the first Sunday in April. I cannot be here the second Sunday in April, because I'll be in Trinidad. But if you'll let me come back the third Sunday in April, I will come back and try to serve the Lord to the best of my ability, to feed the flock and work together with this church and to build a wall that cannot be broken down by a box or anybody else. It will work together. Don't you? Let's stand.
The what? Oh, see, I'm in trouble right now. See?
That's what I'm talking about. I get in trouble every day.
But I love her. Amen. And I believe she loves me. Come on up here. Say
amen.
And I need to get a directory before I leave too, so I can know her my name.
Page 44, the song.
It's very
sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. Sing the mansion bright and blessed, you return from the place. When we all get to heaven, what a glory of
testimony, anything on anyone's heart. We appreciate everybody coming today.
Oh, Lord, so much. I just can't tell it all. Hallelujah. I thought my son was going to stop through the day. But I'm glad I came.
Amen.
I have all the instructions that I need. And I know what I need to do at the cutoff point. I'm going home, but I'm going to be to make. I'm going home to stay. So I just thank God for this.
Amen.
I got everything that I need to carry on for the next year.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless. I thank you.
Thank you.
You know, it's not easy but to be used by God because we won't let Him all the time.
That's right.
But I'm blessed.
Amen.
But I'm so glad. I'm so happy.
Amen. Bless you, Sister Lisa. Appreciate these words. Anyone else?
I'd just like to say I enjoyed the message.
Amen.
I think I needed that.
Thank you. Anything else?
Brother Ryan, I want to say that I've got a blessing this morning. I went through a procedure this past week, but the Lord has carried me through it, and things are better for me.
Amen.
I may have to have another one, but He'll be with me through that.
Amen. Bless you, sister. Our prayers will be with you. I'm sorry, I see so many people, and I'm so familiar with everybody. I wish I could just call everyone's name when I see them, but I knew this family. We'd been in service with them before, and it's a joy to be in service with all of you and look forward to many, many more together.
Brother Ron, as I was leaving my house this morning, our garage opened up the street, and Billy left before me. I had something to do after church. But anyway, as I was coming outside, and this lady walking down the street, and I waved. I don't know all my neighbors yet, so I waved at everybody. Hey, sir, your neighbor's supposed to wave at your neighbor's wife. Anyway, she acknowledged me, and she walked up to me, and she said, I know you're trying to leave, I can tell. And she handed me a pamphlet, and it was about, she was a Jehovah's Witness. Well, the man who does my hair is also a Jehovah's Witness. And she said, I said, oh, you probably know Norman. And she said, yeah, I saw him this morning. Now, I was leaving, and she was out past his daughter's house, and she'd already been to church.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know exactly what those Jehovah's Witnesses believe, but they're on fire for the Lord, and they're not afraid to do His work.
Yeah.
So I got in my car, and I let the smile on my face, and I waved at her as she was knocking on my church door. And the Lord just spoke that to me. He said, be on fire for the Lord.
Yeah.
Do my work.
Yes.
She was out doing His work in the coast. And it was okay. And she was still smiling. So that just touched me. And then you just fell right in line with that. So I enjoyed your message this morning. I love your sweet family. I think it's amazing that the Lord has brought y'all here. Because I love y'all so much already. Isn't that cool? I already love y'all. I don't even have to learn to love you. I love that shit. Anyway, I was so glad to hear and feel the Spirit here and to hear you be on fire. Be on fire. So, I'm just excited. I'm excited. Can't wait.
Amen. Appreciate that, Sister Cindy, very much. Anyone else?
Brother Ronald, thank the Lord for my salvation. Thank you for all that He does for me. I want to thank you for blessing this church.
Amen.
So this blessing before us, it seems y'all to be with us. So, I don't want to go on record saying I'm going to do whatever I can. I've got to be hypnotized.
Same thing.
We might have all the smarts, but I'll try.
Nor do I. God bless you, Mr. Higgs. Appreciate this very much. Anyone else? Thank you again for coming. Remember us this week. Pray for our sister churches, and pray one for another. I'll post my contact information. Some of you already have it, but I'll give you my cell number. If you want to write it down right now, it's 270-438-6915. Can you call that back? I know. Yes.
Somebody get that. We'll be asking.
Yeah. 270-438-6915. That's my cell number. And our home number is same area code 270-586-3357. And we'll get you our address as well. But please, I do beg you to, especially since I don't know everyone, I know most of you, but if there's a, like Brother Langford, or for someone in the hospital or anyone that needs any assistance, day or night, please feel free to get a hold of us.
I want to say this, you all, where I'm going back to. The ministry is, the city is underwater, Parkdale, Mississippi, and it's underwater, so my heart has been so heavy on this week. So I ask y'all just to keep it lifted up.
Amen.
When I go back to the ministry, I know that I'm going to have to do a lot of things.
Bless your heart. Amen. Anything else? Thank you for coming, and keep me informed of other business, other services and things like that, this is a good tool. Please keep me abreast of that. Yeah, we work together, so he's looking forward to coming, and I am too. And so I'll be at Harmony Missionary Baptist Church next week. I did make that commitment already, and so I was a former pastor there. Oh, do you have service here tonight? Okay, all right. No. Wednesday night? Not yet? Right. And that's what I told Brother Billy, not yet, on Sunday night and Wednesday night. So I have a soft spot in my heart for young preachers and having service. Even if it's just two of us, I still feel that way. Anything else? Anybody wants to go to Trinidad with me? It'd be nice and hot, about 100 degrees during the day. But looking forward to that return. I haven't been there in quite some time. I've made over 10 trips down there, probably 8 trips to Jamaica, 2 trips to Africa. As I mentioned, just pray for us and pray for our safety and pray for my wife as well. Remember the preachers that are here, Brother Tom, Brother Paul Owasu, and Brother Tom Alonde. They're in the area. I usually try to go and have lunch with them. Sometimes they'll need a place to come and preach too. So we'll get more of those details out a little later. Anything else? Brother Quinn, would you pray a benediction to me?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this Lord's Day that you bless us with. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the good message of truth that we've heard. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the one for you are. We just pray, Heavenly Father, if you come this way, Lord, that you might back him. Lord, that you might bless him. We might see great things happen here at this place, that the church might be built up, Heavenly Father.
Pray, Lord.
We might be found good and that, Lord, that you please us to be. Lord, we know it's your will, Lord, that everybody that has a chance, Lord, that we look to you for salvation of us, so that you save us. So we're thankful, Heavenly Father, for each one that's come out here today. We're thankful for our ministers that are with us. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that we each one might be worthy to have us today, Lord, that we might be doing that to be God's will. That's all of our duty to pray for. We bless that we may have the Father, Lord. We just pray that you would remain those answer according to our wills, Lord. But with us, Heavenly Father, for our homes, keep us, Heavenly Father, before we might remember the message, Heavenly Father, that was preached here today, that we might be on fire for you. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our errors, and mistakes. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Are you